multi-billion dollar pet food fraud.
Introduction. Why the need for this book now? Why the provocative title? The year was 2011. Not one person venturing up the path, entering the reception room and then the consulting room in my newly opened vet practice, had ever been given sound, healthy dietary advice for their pet. No matter whether they nursed a baby kitten, a puppy, or a geriatric cat, or coaxed a dog on a lead, the situation was, and still is, the same. All new clients grew up in a world programmed to accept commercial pet food as normal. All had been following the advice of qualified vets, and all were unwittingly harming their pets. Multi-level failings on a tragic scale. Now, 10 years later, after ministering to the needs of thousands of pets and their owners, I felt it was time to rise in defiance, to again blow the whistle on the multi-billion dollar pet food fraud hiding in plain sight. Back in 1991, vet Breck Muir and I first blew the whistle on the alliance between the junk pet food industries, vets and fake animal welfare groups. We explained in simple terms how junk pet foods, similar to or worse than human junk foods, were devastating the health of carnivorous pets. We objected to vets knowingly harming the pets under their care. We condemned the cruelty of subjecting pets to a lifetime of dental suffering. We deplored the overservicing by vets when a simple diet change would, in many cases, obviate the need for pet owners to consult the vet. Brett complained, "Here we have the perfectly engineered commercial circle. A problem doesn't exist, so we create one, and then come up with all the remedial treatments." Overservicing by the vet profession was bad in 1991. It's way worse now. Vets in tandem with fake animal welfare organizations proclaim the alleged superiority of the junk pet food offerings. Bought and paid for by giant companies, vet professional bodies and welfare organizations provide a protective cordon, innocence by association, for the companies. The community of pet owners, and the community more generally, is accustomed to believe in the integrity of the vet profession and welfare groups when, in fact, the vets and welfare groups abuse the trust. Imagine if all the auto mechanics in a town had a deal with oil companies. Imagine if they knowingly sold defective fuel and worked on the fuel-related engine problems without first draining the fuel tank. Imagine if every petrol, gasoline station in the town sold adulterated fuel and that the government regulators knew about and condoned the scam. Unthinkable, do I hear you say? Unfortunately, not just in an imaginary town, but the whole world over, pets are fueled by junk food, and the pet mechanics, the vets, dream up all manner of tests and treatments without either acknowledging or dealing with the fundamentals of the pandemic induced by junk pet food. Government regulators know, or should know, about the problem. It's the same for journalists, scientists, administrators, and anyone with a role providing checks and balances against the pet food fraud. Basic biological and nutritional definitions tell us that carnivores with anatomy, physiology, and behavior fashioned by nature over eons should not now be forced to dwell in solitary confinement, forced to consume industrial grain-based junk. When new materials, technology, or methods are introduced, their manufacturers and promoters need to demonstrate suitability and safety as compared with the systems they are replacing. The onus of proof is on the manufacturers to show that, for instance, cars are superior to horses for carrying passengers and goods. Regulators review the company data, conduct further tests, and provide certificates of compliance. However, with industrial pet foods, the system has been upended, with the result that artificial, harmful junk is nowadays considered to be the gold star standard. Vets, pet welfare organizations, and government regulators disparage the natural evolutionary standard, whole carcasses, or the pragmatic option, raw meaty bones. Evidence of the pet food hoax goes well beyond basic definitions. In 1992, I gave a presentation to the Sydney General Practitioner Vets entitled "Pandemic of Periodontal Disease and Malodorous Condition." I urged the audience, including six academic vets, to take up the challenge and research the etiology, prevention, and treatment of the mouth rot pandemic. Laughter was their response. At that moment, I resolved that if they would not address the issues, then I would. Over the ensuing years, I researched, wrote, and campaigned against the junk pet food monster hiding in plain sight. The resultant documents and books fill archives, nowadays mostly obscured from view by relentless junk pet food propaganda. Consequently, I placed some key articles and representative historical data in part two of this book, Pet Health Matters. The realization that raw mealybones exert miracle preventative and therapeutic benefits for pets has filled me with awe at the majesty of nature's grand design. It's a tiny realization with immense implications for pets, people, and the planet. Part 3, Confronting Reality, describes how vet schools and associations are variously compromised and corrupted. There's a chapter on the alternative raw feeding movements that misappropriated aspects of the straightforward raw mealy bone solution for their own advancement and suppressed the rest. The media and politicians have mostly failed a dependent public. The public deserves to know. Part 4 recommends that we press on regardless, spreading the vital good health message by any and all available means, including legal actions against pet food companies, vets, and animal welfare groups. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Feed your pet.